Hey all you cool cats and kittens, you just clicked on the 13th episode of Sweepers and Reapers podcast. My name is Angel.
And my name is Rachel.
And today we are going to be recapping Netflix's newest, most popular, docuseries, Tiger King.
Woo woo! Yeah, we were going to call this a mini, but it's probably not going to be short. So this is like a, we'll call it a casual Friday. Well, it's not Friday and it's not going up on Friday.
yeah. I don't even want to know what day of the week it is. I'm like, yeah, casual Friday.
Dude, I don't even, yeah. No, quarantine has definitely made me have to work harder to remember the days of the week and the date as well. Like, I don't know what day it is. I don't even know what year it is.
I mean, I also time travel in Animal Crossing, so it's really bad on my end.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Yo, I hate you for that. You fucking suck. People, there's two kinds of people. There's people that cheat at Animal Crossing, and there's people that don't. I don't cheat. I only play in real time.
It's not cheating.
It is cheating. It literally is cheating. The end goal is like, it's just a virtual life, if you will. So, like, I want to live my virtual life at the same time I'm living my normal life, you know? Like,
that's why you go backwards and forwards.
No, I don't be doing that. I just play it as the day comes, and see what the game has in store for me. I'm enjoying all the eggs and stuff.
I hate the eggs.
I really like pastel colors and like the combos of pastel colors, so I'm thriving right now for sure. I'm dressed up. Oh shit, if you heard that, you did hear it. I knocked my coffee mug into my mic. My whole house is decorated for Bunny Day. I'm dressed as the leaf egg, so I really like it and I'm excited about Bunny Day. I think it's just gonna be a theme that we don't have any housekeeping in our episodes anymore. We
just talk about Animal Crossing.
But now that I know that you cheat, oh, I don't know.
I don't like that word. That's not, it's
definitely not like cheating.
I'm winning. What am I winning?
Let us know. Email us. Comment on our Instagram. It's definitely cheating. Yeah, that's all I can say. I'll make a poll on Instagram or something. Is time traveling in Animal Crossing cheating?
And everyone that's here just for the actual true crime content, like, what in the world is this? I'm not voting in this poll. I do not care. And to that, I say thank you, because it's not cheating. I'm just living my best virtual reality life and farming tarantulas so I can get money. Thank you.
Dude, I just be planting the foreign fruits and selling them, and then I dig up fossils. See, that's my thing. I'm trying to like stack my museum up, so once that's done, I sell all my fossils and I make bank off my fossils. And I've got fossils in storage as well, just in case I hit hard times and need
hard
times. So yeah.
Okay, so if you haven't watched Tiger King yet, go do that.
I feel like everyone has. Like, I literally don't feel like I've interacted with a person who hasn't seen it. Like, even my mom, because she's not as fun with her Netflix choices, but even my little brother has seen it. We actually had a group chat, me and my two brothers, about Tiger King. We chatted.
Yeah, my friend Kyle actually just commented on a Facebook post where he was like, what is this about meth and tigers? And I was like, oh, it's on Netflix. You should watch it if you miss Florida, because he's currently in Belize. So, yeah. So, for everyone listening to this, like, if you haven't watched it, go watch it. But also, I don't really think we're going to recap any of the super factual stuff. This is honestly just something that probably should have been a phone call between the two of us. So you might feel a little out of the loop if you haven't seen it. And I mean, I would say you're spoiled, but also like some of the stuff we're talking about isn't super, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think, Rachel?
It's pretty out there, everything we're going to talk about. But if you haven't seen it, I just don't think you would get it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you would just have, you'd just be completely in the dark. Because I had no idea who Joe Exotic was until I, you know, opened my Netflix one day and saw his face. So I feel like if you haven't seen it, you're just going to be in the dark.
All right. So with that, I think we should move on into talking about all of these people. So right off the bat, I think we should talk about Joe Exotic himself.
Oh, man. So one of the things that I think is worth mentioning is I have a friend of mine I went to high school with. His name's Rolando. I don't think he listens, but if you listen, Rolando, hi. I actually used to work with his mom as well at my old job, Small World. But he is an EMT, and he saw Tiger King, and based on Joe's EMT like jacket, he has like, it's pretty fly, this like, you know, leather EMT jacket. Rolando looked him up, and he actually was a licensed EMT, and his license expired in the year 2010. So homeboy was an actual EMT and like kept the swag.
Yeah, I saw that on TikTok and I'm like, okay, so that explains the EMS jacket. And we only see it once, I think, which is when one of his workers at the zoo gets their arm ripped off by a tiger.
I thought that was like, because that's, you're right, like that's the only time you see it in the documentary. And I think it's so interesting because he before anyone was even really helping the person who got their arm ripped off, like my guy had the jacket on and was like ready to roll. So you know that was like hanging by his front door somewhere, just like waiting for the perfect time.
Yeah, he was definitely waiting. He had it on deck. And to be honest, like, I would keep my EMT jacket for sure.
I also wonder, while we were talking about this, I thought like maybe he became an EMT because he, like, they needed one at the Tiger Zoo, you know what I mean? Which is like kind of interesting to think about, because I was like, why would he be an EMT? But I guess it makes sense, like, because there's no, they never talk about him being an EMT at all. You know, like working anywhere, like nothing. So I wonder if that's why. Also, just want to note here, it's hot as balls in my bedroom and I opened up my window, so you shouldn't hear anything weird, but I'm sorry if you do. It's either this or the fan, which is honestly louder than having the window open. So yeah, it's I think it's like 62 or 63 degrees in Maryland, so it's not super hot, but it's nice and springy, so I've got my window open. Maybe you'll hear a nice little birdie or something.
But I guess since we are on the topic of Joe's fashion choices, I would like to talk about how he sells underwear, or sold, I should say. He sold underwear in his zoo's souvenir shop, but he did not personally wear them. And that was a little clip in the show where he's like, haha, I don't wear underwear.
Okay, so not to put my boyfriend on blast, but he...
Yo!
He has this, like, running joke about... I'll be like, hey, what are you doing? He goes, oh, nothing. Just picking jean fibers out of my nuts. And that's what I thought about when he's, like, fucking around with his balls in his jeans, you know? Like, when they're like, oh, I don't wear underwear. Also, does his piercing, like... Okay. He has a Prince Albert piercing, right?
Yes.
Does that not get caught in his zipper? Like, ouch. I have some piercings in my face, and when they get caught, I'm like, ouchie, ouchie, ouchie. So I can't imagine, like, your fucking dick piercing getting, Yeah. I will say, though, underwear is, like, an awesome merch idea, because like other than Joe Exotic, pretty much everyone needs underwear, you know what I mean? So it's a good business idea.
I don't know, it's very like, I thought about it, like, what would I want as a souvenir from GW Zoo? And I think maybe for the older crowd, like if you're like some wild, like 30-year-old, you're like, I don't need a lion stuffed animal, but look at this thong. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's good.
He knew who he was marketing to.
Definitely. But on the topic of piercings, you brought it up. His eyebrow ring and how it's
my fucking God. The eyebrow ring, bro. So we chatted about this before. I watch this guy on YouTube a lot. His name's Rolly. He's this British YouTuber and he makes a lot of piercing videos. And I watch them a lot because some of them are like fails and they're funny, whatever. The first thing I freaking did when I saw, like, because it's the first thing you see is his face in like the opening sequence. And I feel like you can't not stare at it. It's like a car wash or a car wash. What the fuck? A car wreck.
I mean, to be fair, I love staring at the stuff when you're inside of the car. The indoor ones where you stay in your car and you watch all the stuff hit your vehicle.
Hell yeah. So. And when you go in after smoking a little weed, they're great. But I just thought that his eyebrow had to have been pierced wrong. Because, like, even with aging, like, it was so low. It was hanging in the outer corner of his eye. And it's not like his brow itself was that low. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it had to have been pierced wrong and like that it was trying to grow out or something. I don't really know what was going on there. I just feel like it was not done right because it was just not even remotely in the right spot. And I never saw any like evidence of it ever being in the right spot to begin with.
Yeah, it almost makes me wonder if it was a personal choice because, like, I have my nostril pierced and I have my septum pierced. And before I went to either of those, you know, appointments to get pierced or whatever, I was told by various people, yeah, you'll get to pick how far up you want your septum ring to be. You'll get to pick where on your nose, like, you know, my normal nostril piercing. And neither of my piercers let me choose. Which is a good thing. Like, they know what to look for anatomically. So maybe there's something there. Like, maybe he went to a bad piercer and was like, yeah, put my eyebrow piercing here. And the piercer was like, sure thing, dude. I don't know.
Yeah. I definitely feel like he went to someone bad. Or, I mean, it was Oklahoma. So, like, I don't – and back in the day. So I don't know – how abundant good piercers were, but it was bad. And it was just bad. That's all. Bad.
Also, this makes me wonder about his Prince Albert piercing. What is the state of that thing? Speaking of his gene issue.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
Because my thing with his brow is like, I know people that have rings in their brow. And they're not supposed to, like, fucking swing around and
they're definitely
hit
not.
Your eye. Like, it's not a damn hoop earring. So it does, like, I wonder, yeah. And the ring in his brow piercing especially, it was so fucking big, too. So maybe that's why he doesn't wear underwear to, like, I don't fucking know. But if he went to the same person who did his eyebrow, it's probably a little questionable.
Yeah, I am so embarrassed to say that I put that in my notes, but I'm like, that's a really good point to bring up, the state of it, no, of it all.
It totally is. It makes you wonder, like, if that piercing is sketchy, what the fuck's going on in your pants, sir? Actually, don't want to know.
Yeah. Also, again, more stuff about his choice in clothing. I love the Iron Man shirt that he wore during his deposition.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Solid I love choice. You 3000.
What did you think about the pink wedding outfits with the cowboy hats?
I didn't mind them. I thought they were fun. I think the outfit for the second wedding, to the dude Dylan, like the outfit that Dylan wore in that wedding was fucking atrocious. But no, I kind of liked like the all matching pink cuteness. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cute. Especially, it looks like they got married at a courthouse, but even if they didn't, like, you know,
it was fitting. I thought it was just, like, honestly, to me, it looked like they used, like, a room at the zoo or something. Like, oh, some really? Shit they already had, you know what I mean? Just, like, a random...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I couldn't really figure out what it was, but I'm like, well, either way, it's very fitting for what is happening and the personality of the man who seems to be the ringleader. So, you know.
Yeah.
As someone who went to Catholic school and to be a Catholic, what's your take on the whole priest collar?
The priest collar didn't necessarily, like, offend me. I'm sure there are people out there that it would offend, but I didn't really give a shit about that part. It made me realize how Joe views himself. The fact that he put on the priest outfit, you know what I mean? Like, he clearly views himself as someone who could be a priest.
Yeah, I agree with that, but also I'm over here kind of chuckling to myself because I'm like, what are the odds that we record this and later on I'm on TikTok and I find something that says he was ordained or something?
Yo. Dylan said that as well. And I was like, even if you're ordained, like as a minister, you don't dress like that. Like, there's a girl I follow on Instagram who's an ordained minister, and she, like, marries people, but she doesn't dress as a priest because it's not, like, necessarily a denominational, like, religious thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of, like, in the eyes of the law, I think.
Yeah.
So, even if I don't even fucking know. He just, homeboy thought he could have been a priest, I guess.
Other than everything we just talked about, I want to take a moment to say that I love and respect all of his metallic button-down shirts. I would like to acquire a few of those for myself, not his specifically, but...
They're like ice skating shirts, you know, like the kind that like figure skaters wear because they're all like floppy and they like blow in the breeze and they're eye-catching. That's what they reminded me of, like some like Johnny Weir think of that. Shit. Yeah.
But on that note where I said I don't want his personally, Rachel, apparently they are now selling his clothes at the GW Zoo gift shop.
You mean like clothes he wore?
Yes.
Like $100 fucking Poshmark?
Shirt. Yeah.
Would you buy one?
Okay, listen. If I'm spending the money to go to the GW Zoo at this point in time, I probably would. Like, that sounds terrible, but $100 and it's like a weird flex to be like, oh, look at this shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I would want to own something that's touched his shirtless body. You know what I mean? I think I'll pass.
I hate you. You make me gross.
I'm not a fan of Joe Exotic. So.
I'm not a fan either, but like, I don't know. It's cool. Not cool, but it's something to have, you know? Yeah. On that note, what are your takes on his music career?
I like country music. I think you know that. Certain artists, I'm not like a blanket country person, but I like some country. Like, I love Hunter Hayes. I think he's the best thing ever. However, I'm not really into Joe's brand of country, and I feel like Dylan and I, like, low-key argued about this because I was like, there's no way that that's him singing. Like, he might have written it, but there's no way that that's him singing. And if it is him singing, he's paid someone to make it sound like that. Like, he's not actually... I don't think he can actually sing. That was my take.
I am about to rock your world.
No.
He is not singing.
I fucking knew it. I cannot wait to tell Dylan.
I'll send you the receipts after we record, but it's like two men that he hired and paid to sing for him. I think he might have written the stuff himself. I'm not really sure on that part, but it is not him actually singing.
I knew it. I knew it the whole time. I was like, there's no way. It's like when Drew Seeley sang for Zac Efron in the first High School Musical, you can tell that it's not him.
I don't know. For a second, I believed that it was really Joe Exotic. I'm like, yeah, that's him. Like, why would it not be him?
No way. The more I listened, I was like, okay, so that's either highly edited, but it doesn't sound highly edited, so I knew that it wasn't him. Basically, I'm just really smart.
So I think my favorite Joe music moment was probably the Here Kitty Kitty music video.
The Carol impersonator was ridiculous. Like, it looked so much like her.
I genuinely thought that he had gotten together with Carol and filmed with her.
Yeah. No, it was scary. And her, like, the outfit and everything. It was spot on, the portrayal.
I think this is time, this is the time where we talk about him singing at Travis's funeral. What was that?
For me, I think Travis was the one person that I walked away feeling the most, like, empathy for. Just because he clearly got himself into a situation that wasn't, or he was, like, you know, preyed upon into getting into a situation that wasn't good for him. I can't speak. I think that the way Joe acted at Travis's funeral was purely performative. Like, I don't necessarily believe that he wasn't grieving at all, but I don't even, like, I don't know. That's just not how you act, especially at a funeral. And it's like, he just made it so much about himself, I feel like, the way that he sung. And when he was singing, I didn't feel like it was very emotionally heavy. Do you know what I mean? It felt, again, like a performance versus like a way of him expressing his feelings. At least that's what I saw.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. But I'm also sitting over here thinking, wait a minute. If he did not sing his songs, is that implying that he was lip syncing at Travis's funeral?
I don't know. It sounded kind of bad, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, a lot of people on the internet are claiming, oh yeah, he didn't fool me, I knew it wasn't him from the start, because of his speaking voice. They're saying that his speaking voice was so different from his singing voice that they immediately were able to clock it. So
I feel like that's a lot of people that sing have really different singing voices than their talking voices. I'm trying to think of someone, and I'm struggling.
Jonathan Groff singing.
Oh, my boyfriend.
Voice. I hate his reindeer voice.
Dude, the reindeer voice is so fucking cute. And then in Frozen 2, when he's like, wait, you talk for them too? Best part ever. I love Jonathan Groff. I'm going to start a Jonathan Groff podcast. Yeah, I don't know. And I think that Joe made Travis's funeral way more about putting on this, like, see, like, he killed himself here, but it's fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because obviously Travis committing suicide would raise questions about Joe, and I keep wanting to call it a farm for whatever reason, and I don't know why, but the zoo. So I felt like his funeral was just all about showing, like, the media and everyone around him, hey, Travis is gone, but everything's cool. His mom is here, so it's cool. That sort of thing.
Yeah, I honestly probably would have been okay with him singing and doing that whole thing if he hadn't preceded it by talking about Travis's testicles.
Oh, like, yeah, that was so gross. Like, ew.
I'm just imagining being at that funeral. Like, you're sitting there and you're like, bro,
you're like, what do you do? Well, I know that I know about his balls. I didn't have to let him go knowing that I didn't know about his balls. Like, what?
Oh, and then when he invited Travis's mom to his next wedding.
Oh my God.
In my notes, I just have in all caps, for what?
I feel so fucking bad for that woman. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell that her and Travis were so close. The fact that she also said after that, like, I never talked to him again, I never heard from him again, that is so fucking shitty, and you know exactly why she never heard from him again. When you lose someone like that, so close to you, when you lose someone together with another person, like, it bonds you. And also, for me, I've been through death. And I don't know, whenever I've experienced a loss with someone else, it's never made me, like, push them apart. I don't know where I'm going with this. All I know is that, like, it's very clear he didn't give a shit about a relationship with her once Travis was gone, because, you know, Travis isn't there to say shit about it. And, you know, the pictures are out that Travis's mom was at the wedding and she thinks it's okay and whatever. So, like, who gives a shit about maintaining that relationship?
Yeah, to me, it felt like he did it just so he could have that sort of media coverage and whatever weird closure it might have provided for him, where he's like, yeah, his mom is here, so it's fine.
Well, because at that point, John Finley had left him, right? Like, he was already gone?
I am not sure, but that seems possibly correct.
I'm pretty sure that he was, because he wasn't around when he married the guy Dylan. So I honestly think that's part of it as well, is like a lot of the main players in Joe's life were starting to disappear, and now that he, I guess, didn't need Travis's mom anymore, like, all he's gonna do is try to maintain the image he has already. I don't know where I went with that.
I think this is a good time to segue into what I have been seeing all over Twitter and various websites, which is just the concept of bi erasure, and how the show didn't really touch on the fact that Travis and John may have both actually been bisexual, and it seemed to be a very cut and dry, like, haha, you're not straight, haha, are you gay? And it wasn't. There was nothing really touching on the fact that, hey, they might have been bisexual men, you know?
I never thought about that, but that is a good point. I did see a funny-ass tweet on Twitter that was like, I love that 2/3 of the gay thruple wasn't gay. I don't know. I think it's bad to assume, like, that, again, that they were just straight because they weren't gay. And also, on a certain level, you wonder, like, John I don't want to say he had to have enjoyed, like, being with Joe, but he had a lot of tattoos for Joe. Like, a lot.
When he was talking about Joe at certain times, I felt like there was more there, that he actually loved him.
Right, and maybe he wasn't gay, but he had this one connection with this guy. Like, I don't know, but there was I feel like between John and Joe, there was definitely more, but I honestly feel like the relationship between Travis and Joe was very predatory.
Yeah, on the complete flip side of the whole bi erasure thing, I think there's also the idea that, you know, maybe they were bisexual, but there wasn't really a chance to talk about that, and it would have been kind of weird to try to include that, where they're like, here's your, you know, social justice-y lesson. This is what being bisexual means. Because, like, at the end of the day, maybe they did or didn't enjoy having relations with Joe sexually or romantically. But, like, I think we all know
what people bisexual don't react means. Well to bisexual men. I think a lot of the time as well, there's a lot of stigma around it. So I hate to say it makes sense why they would have left it out. But it is a rabbit hole that might have been worth mentioning for sure in the doc.
I think maybe it was a rabbit hole that they didn't want to go down, because it seemed to be very closely tied with the conversation of Joe being predatory and essentially having these relationships with these men because he was able to offer them illegal drugs. That's something they didn't really cover. It felt like it was implied and said a few
times. I think
they
covered it more in Travis's story, because Travis was more recent and that age gap was more prominent. And Travis, I honestly don't remember John's story, but I do remember them touching that Travis was in a really shitty place when he met Joe and was already having issues with substance abuse and whatever. And I think anyone that's dealt with substance abuse can, you know, relate to the fact that if there's someone that you look up to or find mildly attractive offering you your substance of choice, you're way more liable to spend time with them and be in their circle. And maybe do things that you wouldn't normally have had they not been offering you drugs. So, while I do think it was a good point in the doc, because, like, even though it's not illegal for Joe and Travis to be whatever, he was a grown adult, mm-hmm. It's definitely still predatory. I'm pretty sure, was he not older than Travis's mom as well?
I believe Travis's mom was either 1 year younger than Joe or 1 year older. There was a 1 year age gap between the two of them. Yeah, see, that's
like, I think that age gap relationships can, like, totally not be creepy, but it totally depends on the dynamic and what y'all bond over and, like, whatever, whatever. I think there's a lot, there's a fine line there. In this case, definitely weird and predatory.
For me, at least, it felt like I said earlier, there were times when John was talking about Joe and I could tell there was love there. But never once was there, in any of the clips or anything, did I get the vibe, like, oh my goodness, Travis is so in love with Joe.
Yeah, I think Travis valued Joe as a person who was, again, giving him drugs, giving him food, shelter, place to live, all that stuff. Like, the rest of Joe's employees, like, they have this very odd sense of loyalty mm-hmm. towards him, even though they're really not getting that much out of the deal that they've got with Joe.
Yeah, so I think, honestly, other than, like, the animal abuse and stuff, the biggest thing that bothered me in the series was the idea of kind of touching base on the fact that these people, John and Travis, were being bartered with drugs to stay with Joe. Like, it really didn't sit well with me. And then, obviously, you know, Travis committing suicide, like, that was just really, I don't know. It left me with a very sour taste in my mouth, to say the least.
For me, I couldn't believe that, what was his name, Josh, the yeah. campaign manager, I could not believe that he saw Travis kill himself and still, like, stuck around and supported Joe through. I'm not saying it was Joe's fault what happened. I do think he had a hand in it, but also if that was me and I watched that happen, I'm never fucking setting foot on the place that it happened ever again in my entire life. And also, like, I saw a lot of people commenting about the way he reacted, because in the doc they obviously show, like, the security mm-hmm. camera footage, which I don't think was necessary.
I also do not think that including the whole clip was necessary.
I think that maybe it's good that it was out of frame, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. Like, not necessary. However, I think in the clip you see the way Josh reacts, and he just completely does not fucking know what to do. Like, you watch him and he's just like, holy shit. Like, the shock takes over him. So I didn't love him, to be honest, but I did want to stick up for him in that, right? You know, because if I saw that, it would probably take me a few seconds to go get someone too, because I'd be like, what the fuck did I just watch? I also feel bad for him as well, because of the fact that Travis obviously chose to do it in front of him. Like, that's gotta be heavy.
Yeah, I personally don't really think they should have included the whole clip, just because as soon as I'm sitting there watching that, I'm thinking, okay, this just opened a whole can of worms, because Twitter and everywhere else are going to maybe tear this kid apart for the way he reacted. And I think that's a really weird thing to discuss. Like, oh, he just sat there. Oh, it took him forever to get up. Like, I've never witnessed anything like that. Most people haven't. I hope most people never have to. So it was very strange, and it felt like shock value for the sake of nothing, I guess. Because I'm with the way of thinking, okay, show like 3 seconds of what happened. I didn't need to sit here for like a whole half a minute and watch this kid sit here in shock, you know?
Right. Like, maybe you don't, because you see the blast, like you see the flash of light. Maybe don't show that, but show like his reaction or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel it wasn't necessary to get the gravity of the situation, but also I can't imagine what that feels like to be the bystander. So I kind of think that's maybe what they were going for. Either way, rest in peace, Travis.
Yeah. I guess on the topic of Josh real quick too, I don't like how they didn't cover where he came from and that it seemed like
he just fucking popped out of thin air, but that's not actually how it happened.
So what I heard was he approached Joe Exotic in Walmart one night saying something along the lines of, "Thank you for being so openly gay in this town. I'm gay too." And the way the show depicted it was like Joe just randomly walked in there and was like, "Hey, you want to be my campaign manager?" Like, I don't know.
And you would think that, like, if that's how they met, because being gay was a very large part of Joe's identity, you would think that they would include that. But when I found that out too, I was like, what? Like, maybe the guy Josh, like, just wasn't comfortable with saying it on, like, you know, worldwide TV or whatever. But I thought that was interesting too. Like, why would they not include that? Because if it's weird, because even though Josh does have loyalty towards Joe in a way, he also tries to distance himself, you see, like in the documentary, like he definitely tries to put himself as more of like a bystander. So when I found that out, that he like actually kind of looked up to Joe, I was like, he tried to make it seem like he wasn't a Joe Exotic fanboy when maybe he was.
I think it's maybe something he wanted to distance himself from after he was involved with it. And also maybe he was suffering a little bit with this whole, like, I think RuPaul coined it, where he talks about meeting your idols and people that you look up to. And it's similar to The Wizard of Oz and how they finally met, what's the guy's name? The Oz guy.
The Wizard?
I'm sitting here, like, thinking, girl, I'm like, it can't be that basic, but yeah, I guess he has no special name. When they finally met the Wizard of Oz, they were disappointed.
Maybe, yeah, because he was just like a dude behind a curtain pulling some fucking levers.
Yeah, so maybe it was something like that for Josh, where he's like grown up in this small town, he's gay, Joe's gay, wow, this is cool, and then he gets involved with it, and he goes through this really traumatic experience, and he is forever tied to this zoo and Joe, and he's like, dang, I wish I wouldn't have bothered with it, you know? I'm not trying to put words into his mouth, but maybe it's something like that.
Oh, yeah. He definitely, I mean, obviously, he got thrown into a pretty traumatic situation just because he wanted to run a campaign. So, definitely sucks.
Because we're talking about him, though, I do have to mention, why did they put in that clip of him taking a hit off of that pen and then choking?
Yo, I literally was crying. I was like, what? Why is this? Wow, bro, you smoke weed.
It was so unnecessary. Who did him like that?
I don't know. They just wanted to fuck. They wanted to make him look like a fucking baby lungs on Netflix.
Oh my goodness. So is, oh, speaking of a second ago, how you said his employees were loyal to him. I don't know what Josh got paid, but I have here that it was for his other employees. They worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and they only received $200 a week in pay, plus expired meat to eat and possible illicit drugs.
That's fucking crazy. I guess they weren't doing anything else, and he was feeding them and giving them a place to stay, so it's like, not that $200 is an appropriate wage at all, but $200 in conjunction with drugs and like you're not leaving the property anyways, it makes sense to me why something like that would be enticing.
Yeah, I guess I was also really upset when they showed him going to, like, some gas station and how he supposedly got phone calls. Oh, hey, the jail truck or whatever it is, like the bus that picks people up after they get out of prison and jail. Oh, yeah, like someone's been sitting there all night. Like, he targeted these people that would look at that situation and be like, wow, that's a lot more than I have right now just getting out of jail, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
So I guess on that note, do you have anything else that you would like to speak about Mr. Joe Exotic?
Other than I don't really like him, no.
All right. So, Carol Baskin, what do you think of this lady?
I think that she is kind of a conundrum for many mm-hmm. reasons, because if you look at the way that she got into the big cat thing, it wasn't necessarily in the most, like, honorable way, because her and, you know, her husband had been, like, breeding them and whatever. It is also a bit hard for me to tell, like, is the care she's giving her animals that much superior to the care that all the other ones are getting? Although I know, like, from the way the documentary shows, it looks like the big cat rescue, each cat had way more room versus, like, at the GW Zoo, they're, like, on top of each other. And, like,
that's honestly the only difference I noticed.
Yeah. Like, they still had a lot of tigers. And to me, you know, it struck me as, like, they were getting good care. And also their, like, volunteer system and stuff was, like, really, you know, what's the word? It was hard to get into. But other than that, like, you still have all these tigers. The issue, though, is that once a tiger has been raised in captivity, like, it can't go in the wild. Mm-hmm. So what do we do? You know, it's like, what do we do with all these tigers that are being bred? Like, they got to go somewhere. So I understand why the big cat rescue exists. And to me, it seems like they do have more room to roam around. As a vegan, I just wished that, like, none of it had to exist. But also, at this point, there's more tigers and big cats. Well, I don't know about big cats, but there's more tigers in captivity than there are in the wild.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you calling Carol a conundrum. I have very mixed feelings about her, and I think this whole docuseries really threw me for a loop, because I don't think there's genuinely any good person here. Everyone is a villain somehow in their own right in this series. And so from the beginning, you're kind of looking at her like, oh, like, I don't really like her, but is she possibly the least bad person here, you know? But beyond that, I just want to... How are you allergic to cats?
I love that life for her. Well, I don't love... It's just funny. they also say with cats, it can get worse as you get older. Like, some people will go their whole childhood and adolescence without being allergic to cats, and then all of a sudden you are. So, medically, it makes sense. But that fucking sucks. Now, it doesn't seem like she was, like... She's not like Joe, where she's, like, cuddling with them and, like, playing with them and shit either, you know?
It was just so weird to me how she was casually like, yeah, I'm allergic to cats. Ha ha ha.
I was just surprised she didn't have a single pet cat, like a house cat in mm-hmm. her house. I thought that was odd. I was like, you're telling me this woman doesn't have 85 cats in her house? That's what surprised me.
I mean, that could be the reason. Who knows? I just want to say, though, completely on a different wavelength here, I did not like her husband.
Yeah, I thought her husband had me dying sometimes because he was so dorky. Like, and I liked that he was very, like, straightforward and precise.
He just looked like the type of guy, I don't know, I did not like him. I didn't like his singing. I really want to know the context behind his wedding picture with Carol, you know, the one where they're on the beach.
Amazing. Where he's chained up. I fucking love it.
whose idea was that? Was Carol? Because Carol kind of seems like she,
you know, damn well it was a mutual agreement. Like, because he was happy as hell to be dressed up the way he was.
And then, like, in the very beginning, when they're showing her little big cat graveyard, she's like, oh, you can read plaques too. You just keep following me around. And I was like, girl, I'm not, I haven't even known you for 5 minutes. Leave him alone.
I liked him, honestly. I think I'm the only one.
I think they're a good fit. I think the two personalities.
Oh my God, together. Yeah, they're made for each other.
So you brought up her volunteer system a second ago a little bit. I thought it was insane that none of her volunteers got paid.
I wasn't surprised. Like, why pay someone when you could totally get them to do it for free?
And then she had that weird ranking system, though, where, like, different volunteers wore different colored shirts depending on how much they had volunteered.
For me, like, that made so much sense, considering you're working with big cats. Like, if it's, like, a dog and cat rescue, that's probably a little excessive. Or maybe you wear different shirts to designate, like, who's, you know, higher up in the rescue and does different things versus the people who are just, like, helping with the dogs. I don't really know. But for me, that made total sense because it's, like, I don't remember the colors, but let's say a purple shirt is, like, the lowest level and you see them fucking doing something that they're not supposed to, it's very easy to be like, hey, stop that. Like, so I think that that system was way more to cover her own ass and make sure that no one's getting hurt and doing things they're not supposed to. And if they are, it's easy to see, I guess.
I think at that point, though, you have to ask yourself, like, why is she not paying her volunteers? Because if you want to be that serious about, oh, you've never volunteered for me before, you don't know how to care for them this, this, and this way, you would think she would pay actual, I don't know what they're called, but people who go to school for zoology and are animal, like, exotic animal care keepers, you know?
I'm sure they have those. When you're a nonprofit, I guess it gets a little tricky.
Yeah. I sent you that screenshot the other day about how, like, people I know, because, hello, I think we've mentioned it before, I'm from Florida, and Carol Baskin's Big Cat Rescue is located in Tampa, Florida. So, like, I know people who have wanted to volunteer for her before. I probably know people who have volunteered for her before. And it's really interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Not a few nights ago, I think it was, like, last night, actually, my cousin was posting all over, like, Facebook and Instagram and stuff, sharing a brochure of, you know, Big Cat Rescue that she has, because she went over to her grandmother's house, and her grandmother is such a sweet woman, and she's also a really, really talented artist. And apparently at one point in time, she was going to paint portraits of Carol's big cats for Carol.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, you know, it really is a small world, but hell, insanity. Yeah. I don't know if she ever did actually paint anything for Carol and if it was sent in or whatever, but I just thought that was super cool. Beyond that, though, other than, you know, the obvious, did Carol kill her husband? What is your take on the whole dead bunny picture fiasco?
I've said this a million times. I'm vegan, and I'm vegan for the animals. I'm not vegan for my health or anything like that. So I think I definitely bring an alternate perspective to the podcast. I can recognize when it comes to wild animals, the food chain, and I understand that tigers have to eat something. I don't know about tigers, but a lot of animals don't necessarily, like, when they're in captivity, they don't necessarily need, like, live prey. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times you can feed a snake frozen dead rats and it's fine because it never knows the difference. But you have to remember that, like, a tiger is a fucking hunter, and it's important for them to have that enrichment, I think, if it's possible and safe for them to have it in captivity. So I think it's odd that they posed with the bunny picture, or with the bunnies, and took a picture of it and, like, did a thing. But I think it was majorly taken out of context by Joe. It's like, bro, just because you use expired meat from Walmart to feed your animals, like, doesn't mean that Carol is... I mean, at the end of the day, it sucks for the bunnies, you know? Like, they were animals who wanted to live too, but they weren't just being slaughtered for fun and, like, you know, putting videos on the internet. It was to feed a tiger. So that's my personal take. I think when you investigate and add the context, it kind of makes sense. I think it's weird to pose with it and post it on your website for sure, but, like, I don't know. The whole thing didn't, I didn't feel any outrage.
Yeah, for me, like, I don't know. If you are constantly up Joe's ass about what he's doing and how he's doing it, I definitely understand why he immediately saw this as, like, something he could, you know, attack. And personally, I just thought it was weird. I think the documentary explained something like, yeah, we hadn't been able to get rabbits or something for our tigers in a while, so my zookeepers were extra excited. I'm like, that's cool. Be extra excited. Feed the animals. I hope the tigers have a delicious lunch. But, like, why are we taking a picture with it?
Yeah, I think that's the weird part, because it's like, are you proud? Like, I don't know. It's weird, but also, like, the tigers were going to eat the rabbits regardless of whether or not that picture existed. So, yeah, it's weird. But I think that's all it is weird.
I just think of it in the context of, like, my friends and people who have owned pet snakes, to think of them, like, look at this rat. I am going to feed my snake. I'm going to take a selfie with it because I'm so happy my animal hasn't had fresh rat in a while. Like, I'm like, cool. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, cool, like, weird flex. Thanks.
Right. It's a weird flex. But I think it's something, I've never had a pet that eats other animals like that, so I don't know. But I could understand being excited for your snake if it hasn't eaten a live rat in a while. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that, or like, if you've got a bearded dragon and you normally feed it veggies, but you're giving it worms today, you know? Like, that's exciting. It doesn't lessen the other animal's suffering, but I can acknowledge that animals need to eat. So that's where I stand.
I'm just the type of person where I'm like, girl, be happy, post a tweet about it, make a extra long Facebook status, tell us all about it. But, like, just throw those rabbits in the bin with the tigers and let it be. Like, why are we, like, let me, like, borderline cuddle
it also rabbit. It just wasn't, I don't think that they were expecting it to do what it did either, so I think that's, yeah, something to consider. Like, they maybe weren't trying to, like, show the world. I don't know, it is the internet, but
it's one of those things where I see things sometimes and I'm like, oh, maybe you have to be within this community to respect what is happening here. I think they were excited in their own right, and maybe there are people in their community that would be like, oh, it's normal. It's normal to post pictures of the meat that you're feeding your tigers.
Like, hypothetically, let's say Carol and Doc Antle are friends, and she sends them a video of a bunny, and she's like, look what I'm feeding Ricky today. Like, that's one thing. You know, I don't know. It sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks either way.
This is such a weird, like, long tangent about the bunny picture, but I do think...
I think there's so much outrage without people actually, like, trying to unpack it and being like, a fucking tiger's gotta eat.
Yeah, exactly. I'm cool with the tiger eating. Do what you gotta do. It just seemed a little, like, off the cuff to pose with them. And then, of course, like I said earlier, Joe is going to take anything and blow it out of proportion because Carol's been bugging him for years. He's like, anything this woman does, I got something on her. I'm ready to go, you know?
And it totally could have been a spur of the moment, like, hey, let's take this weird picture, and not like, at 12 o'clock tomorrow, when we feed the tigers, we are going to have a photo op with these bunnies. You know, like, I don't know. That wasn't something that I, like, got pissed about. I was like, okay, and?
It was just one of the weirder things. But also, I love the bunny suit protest that happened afterwards.
That bunny suit was some fucking nightmare fuel. The Easter Bunny, like, I'm totally cool with fur characters. You know me. I love Disney. I love meeting all the fur characters. All Easter Bunny fur character costumes are fucking terrifying. And I will die on that hill.
I think I agree with that. I'm thinking in my brain, how many Easter Bunnies have I seen? And honestly, they all do just kind of, I think what it is.
It's the eyes.
Yeah. And also because it's not trying to emulate anything specific. There's so many different depictions of an Easter Bunny, you know?
Yeah. It's not like Santa where, you know, he pretty generally looks, I don't know, the eyes of the fucking Easter Bunny, they just, I don't like them.
They're dead inside. On the topic of, I guess, like, a little bit ago, we were talking about her husband. And when we say her husband, we're talking about, I think his name was Howard. Yeah. So Howard Baskin is Carol Baskin's second husband?
No, her third.
Oh!
Because remember, what? She was married to the one guy when she, her daughter's dad?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
wow.
It was her third husband. Her first husband was her daughter's dad and was, like, super abusive, and she had gotten in a fight with him the night that she met Dawn.
Yeah, for some reason I thought she had gotten to a fight with her family. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I completely just, like, didn't remember that.
They don't talk about the first husband much, so I feel like it's easy to forget.
Yeah. Dawn Lewis, I don't want to say I don't like him just because he's not here with us to speak and have his clips in the docuseries, but he's just driving around and, like, the whole, yeah, I really need someone to talk to and you look like you need someone to talk to, so here's this loaded handgun, hold the gun on me, but get in the car and let's talk.
Yeah, when she said that, I was like, yeah, that happened.
I'm like, okay, yeah, one, okay. Did that really happen? Two, if it did, like, y'all both. I don't know.
He must have not given a fuck at all. He was like, she shoots me, like, she's not going to shoot me because if she shoots me, I'm going to crash the car and probably kill her too. So maybe he was, like, feeling secure, but also I don't feel like that actually happened.
Yeah, a lot of people on my Facebook are talking about how the road that she was walking down, I think she said Nebraska Avenue, it's known for drugs and prostitution and stuff. So all the memes are like, yeah, I bet you went for a little stroll at what time of night?
Oh, and, girl.
Yeah. And then the whole, they ended up spending the night together. Like,
yeah,
you know, do what you need to do. But I think, like, possibly that was their cute little way to skirt over, you know, possible prostitution. So, I did mention a second ago, like, oh, Carol, did she kill her husband? I think we should save that for the end. So, I'm just gonna rail into my thoughts about Doc Antle, dude. That man.
I am gonna go on the record and say, fuck Doc Antle.
Oh, he's gonna come get you, girl.
Dude, the fucking feds raided his shit in December, so I don't care what he says to me.
I really dislike Doc Antle just because I thought he was the most sane person at the very beginning. I'm like, okay, you seem the most put together out of all of them. And now, like, as the series went on, I'm like, dude, what the heck?
Yeah, he is fucking crazy. So there's this YouTuber that I really like. Her channel is called Ready to Glare. And she made a video about Doc Antle that I totally should have sent you before we recorded this. But
jinkies.
Sorry. She called him one of those people that, like, goes to India one time and feels, like, spiritually enlightened and, like, changes their name to an Indian name because of it.
He seems like the type now that you're saying this.
From what I, like, saw in her video, I think she mentioned that his parents, like, encouraged that. A lot of, like, Buddhist and other philosophies like that. He also had some kind of, like, mail order degree or something.
A what?
He had, like, a fake degree. Like, a fake, like, a mail order degree.
I was like, girl, what major is mail
order? I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure he had some kind of fake, like, medicine mail order fake degree, yeah.
Yikes.
And also the whole, like, he encouraged his girls, is that what he was calling them? I thought it was really fucking odd that even they chose the, like, Indian names. Because to me, that was a way for him to strip them of their identity.
Don't even get me down this path. Because as soon as I heard that, I was like, dude, like, you're completely stripping them of their identity and almost really, really selling them this concept of, like, this is your new life. Pick your new name.
Distancing them from their old self.
Also, how he had that weird, like, B name. I don't know the pronunciation and how, like, there
Bhagavan.
Was...
Bhagavan?
Yeah.
It means, how... like, guru, I think?
Yeah, but you notice how there was, like, discourse in the docuseries about what it actually meant? And I didn't look into it, but still, you know?
So, did you ever watch that documentary on Netflix, Wild Wild Country, about that cult that, like, took over the, like, Oregon town or something like that?
No.
It's really interesting. You should check it out. It's about this. It's not an Indian cult, but it was started by an Indian guy. And his name was Bhagwan. Like, that was his title, which is, like, similar to Bhagavan. So, it's like a, it is, I hate to say that it's a culty thing to do, but the Bhagwan actually was running a cult. And Bhagavan, Doc Antle, is allegedly running a sex cult of sorts.
Yeah. I don't know. My jaw was, like, completely on the floor when it started talking about their name changes and forced plastic surgery.
Fucking ridiculous. Like, if you're working with tigers, the last fucking thing you need is two sacks of water in your chest.
The way that one girl, and I feel so bad because I don't remember her name, but...
Her name, I don't remember her actual name, but her Indian name was Bala.
The way she just agreed so she had time to sleep and how she wasn't really asked, but it was just kind of put, like, from what I understand, oh, yeah, like, next Tuesday, you're getting your tits done. And she's like, okay. I also want to touch on how the people in the documentary were all asked, like, hey, how many wives do you think Doc Antle had? And do you remember the blonde guy with the long hair? Like, what was his name?
Oh, I don't remember.
He was asked, like, you know, how many wives do you think Doc Antle has? And he looks at the camera and goes, I don't give a bleep. He says the F word. And it's
Angel
so...
doesn't say the F word on the podcast.
Because I'm a good... I don't want to say good person. I don't have a problem with explicit language in my personal life, but I don't know. So bleep it is. Like, he just is so serious. He's like, I don't like almost like, why are you asking me this? I don't care.
It's so funny because they all clearly don't like Doc Antle, but it's not at the same level as Carol. It's just like a major indifference.
Also, just unrelated, but related to Doc, how he rode his elephant everywhere. It made me crack up. Like,
it's
they would
so
be talking
sad
about,
like, you know, that elephant doesn't want to be ridden, poor dude.
Just like the way it would cut to a shot of him, like, they're talking about something serious and here comes Doc and his poor elephant, like, beep bopping down the street. Like,
right. Like, it's not a fucking golf cart, sir.
My goodness. And then on a more serious note, the whole, like, allegedly Doc Antle kills tigers.
I mean, based off of everything they present you with, the fact that what tigers can only be like, tiger cubs can only be in those playtime things for like 3 months or something before they're too big. I hate to say it makes sense that he euthanizes tigers, but it's like, if he's getting away with, if he knows he can get away with it, you know that man is doing it.
And not to be really, I guess, rude towards Mr. Joe Exotic, but that whole clip where they ask Doc, hey, how much does it cost a year to feed a tiger? He's like, it costs me $10,000 a year. And then you cut to Joe, and Joe's like, I can feed mine for, like, what did he say, $2,000 or $3,000?
Because you use expired Walmart meat.
Yeah, so, like, the concept, I keep saying concept, girl, we're real smart out here, vocabulary. The idea, though, that, like, Doc would sell tigers to Joe, I don't think Joe would be able to afford Doc's tigers. But then you have to think, like, well, shit.
If well, maybe it's kill... one that, yeah, maybe it's one that he was looking to euthanize anyway, or just had aged out of that playtime thing, and I would like to imagine that Doc Antle would try not to kill them if he had a choice, but
yeah.
I also don't think he really gave a fuck, so it's hard to say.
He also seems like the type to be mad pressed about money and everything running smoothly, so, you know, if that got in the way of him keeping everything up to par with what he wanted, he seemed very, you know, I don't want to say Virgo-esque, but just on the ball. Like, he's like, this is this, and this is how we do it.
Probably, you know? A Capricorn.
The last thing I want to say about Doc, I almost said Joe. Last thing I want to say about Doc is that whole little tidbit where he says something, and he's dead serious. He's like, people who don't love tigers are just insecure and broken inside.
What a fucking loser. Like, everyone loves tigers, sir.
I'm like, do you mean love tigers to your extent of loving tigers? Like, what? Like, oh, I'm not gonna go join your little tiger zoo, so I'm insecure and broken? Like, I don't know. It was just, I just remember laughing at that, being like, dude, like, you are really off your rocker. And in the beginning, I thought you were the best one out of the bunch, you know?
He seems so sane in the beginning, and then they get into his personal life, and you're like, actually, this motherfucker is just as crazy as everyone else, just in a different way.
Yeah. Do you have anything else that you would like to add about Mr. Doc Antle?
No, actually. Don't like him.
Word. Okay, so John Finley, we discussed him a little bit earlier. This was Joe's, like, I don't want to say main boyfriend, but the main guy in the beginning. He did all of his interviews shirtless.
He also was 19 when he met Joe, just like Travis was.
Yikes on several bikes. What's your take on him doing all of his interviews shirtless?
It's so Oklahoma, and I fucking love that for him. Like, he wasn't ugly. So, like, do you?
I just love that, like, in the very beginning of the series, they're recording Joe for what seems like the first time, and they're trying to gesture to Joe to take his hat off. And Joe's like, no, like, they're gonna be like, man, this guy has a mullet. Haha. I love that whoever was producing this and recording it, they went from that of being like, oh, Joe, take your hat off, to being like, yeah, John's going to do all of his interviews shirtless.
I do wonder, because, you know, when, like, a lot of work goes into what people look like for these things, so it is pretty interesting.
I kind of have a suspicion, though, that possibly maybe he sat down to do his very first interview shirtless, and maybe they just let it happen because they were trying to push a certain, I guess, characterization on the cast of the show.
And it makes me hope he was, like, comfortable with it, but also he's seen shirtless a lot, I feel like, throughout the whole thing.
I mean, I just say what I just said because apparently his teeth were fixed during production, and supposedly there were clips recorded with his new teeth, but they didn't include any. So
And they made a big deal of the whole, like, meth mouth thing for him.
Yeah. He apparently is super upset about it, and I would be too. Like, if there is actual, you know, tape recorded of him with his new teeth, I definitely feel like they could have included 5 seconds to be like, look at his new teeth.
Right. You know? Just be like, yo. And they look really good. If you've seen them online, we'll have to post a picture on the Instagram. I'm sure everyone has seen them, but they look really good.
Also, like, I don't know. I just keep thinking about where they could have put this clip in. And I definitely think, depending on when it was done, it could have been right after they showed him getting his tattoo covered up. I feel like that would have transitioned really well.
Oh, totally. And he didn't, like, he still had the bad teeth, right? When he was getting his tattoo?
I believe so. So if, I was going to say, so if you aren't aware, but like, come on, if you are this far into the episode, you have seen the series and you care enough to hear us have discourse. John obviously had that tattoo that said property of Joe Exotic and it was on his pelvis.
And they never talk about that because I want to know, like, is that forced or like... they never fucking talk about the story behind that, and I want to know.
It was like a zany thing, like maybe he did off the cuff, or like you said, was it forced? Did Joe, like, I don't know. It's very.
Did he lose a bet? Like what? Like how did that get there?
Or was it something he always had planned? He's like, man, I love Joe, and he set up the appointment. He's like, man, I have this booked out 5 months in advance. Like I would love to know. But he did get it covered, and he got it covered with a bull. what's your take on that?
I would like it more if it actually covered his tattoo all the way, and I wish that, not to, like, dog on the artist who did it or anything, but they totally could have set him up with, like, a baller tattoo artist who would have done a really, really, really cool, amazing job. I just hope that John is comfortable with the way it looks and likes it, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what we think, but it just, like, it just doesn't cover it, and it looks weird.
So, I'm not sure if we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I have really bad eyesight, and I am supposed to wear glasses 24/7. Like, unless I'm, you know, in water or sleeping, glasses need to be on my head, and I don't really do that, which is bad, and I need to fix that. But I didn't notice that it didn't cover the whole tattoo until my sister... My sister Amanda was watching the series a couple days after I finished it, and she was like, girl, like, let's talk about that tattoo. It was a horrible cover-up job. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, it's, like, a little heavy.
You're like,
on the
it was
ink.
Great.
I'm like, they had to cover up words, Amanda. Come on. Like, they had to make it look like that. And she looked at me and she's like, Angel, you can still see words. She rewinded it on her phone or whatever she was watching it on, and she's like, do you not see the words sticking out of the side? And I had to, like, put it up to my face, and I'm like, whoa, that is a really not-so-great cover-up job. And
Amanda is a queen.
I'm so embarrassed to admit that, but I'm, like, going on, like, I mean, it's a little dark, it's a little ink-heavy, but you know they have to do that. And she's like, Angel, are you, like...
The top of the word exotic is still, like, oh, man.
I also, wait, what were you gonna say?
No, just because my poor dude.
Vocabulary word of the day. I was gonna say concept again. just
take a shot every time Angel's list concept.
Him picking out a bull to cover it up, like, for people who aren't American, I don't know if this is a phrase everywhere else, but I'm like sitting here watching it. I'm like, is this a thing I've heard before? And I looked it up. According to thefreedictionary.com, hung like a bull is a phrase that means having large testicles or genitals in general.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
a bull.
Because cow balls are giant.
Yeah. Said of a male, usually objectionable. So.
Wow. And here I just thought he was a Taurus.
I'm like, dude, like, that certainly is a choice. I mean, if you are the type of person who, you know, unless he was forced, got property of Joe Exotic right above your genitals, like, true, like go all out, like, you gotta pull. Like,
did Travis have any Joe Exotic tattoos?
I don't think so.
See, what makes me, like, wonder, like, what the story with John was and all his Joe tattoos. But yeah. I don't know.
I also think there are certain people, not to talk bad about John because I didn't really have a problem with him, but I know there are certain types of people who get in a relationship and are in that relationship for a while and will just get the other person's name tattooed everywhere and, like, references to them just because they want to get a tattoo, but they're like, yeah, you know? So it definitely could have been something like that.
I have some tattoos and none of them are anyone's name, just in case anyone was curious.
That sounds really ominous.
Good, like, tattoos only.
Do you have any tattoos in reference to somebody that you specifically got because you're like, oh, they love strawberries or something? I don't know. I know you don't have a strawberry tattoo. I'm just looking at my strawberry
tattoo. So my favorite band, as you know, is called State Champs. They are from Albany, New York. They are really awesome, and you should listen to them if you haven't yet, because they're a really fucking sick band, and their music has definitely gotten me through a lot. But I have a tattoo in their lead singer's handwriting, and it was my first ever tattoo, and it is from a song that I will probably never hear them play live, but it says, "Time can only tell us who we are." And it's really cliche. I got it when I was 18. I still really like it. It's just super corny, you know? Like, I'm gonna get lyrics on my ribs.
No, I think it's a really good placement, though.
Yeah, I'll probably never get a tattoo on my ribs again because that shit fucking hurts. So, yeah. But, and then I have their guitarist as well. I have a tattoo in his handwriting. So, it's on my wrist. I got it in Ireland in this tattoo shop that was in a place called Crown Alley. Yeah, I don't know. I think tattoos in reference to people are really cool. You know, like, I've got a bouquet of my family's flowers on my family's birth flowers on my arm. So, like, you know, every month has a birthstone. And they also have a birth flower. So I've got my mom, my dad, me, and my two little brothers in, like, a nice little bouquet on my arm. So I guess that's kind of like an homage to, you know, people. But I don't do words, especially property of blank. I mean, let's be real. If I was married to, like, Harry Styles or something, or Jonathan Groff, I mean, Jonathan Groff is gay as a $3 bill, but if I was married to one of them and they were like, yo, I want you to get property of me above your bussy, I would be like, maybe. I don't know.
The
love is real, you wanna be doing it.
I love the incorrect usage of bussy there. I love our podcast and everything that this is.
I want a tramp stamp. I want it to say property of Harry Styles on my fucking butt. Okay. But only if I'm married to him. If I'm not married to him, then.
I don't even know how to segue from that.
You want to talk about my boy John Rinke?
No, I want to, I was going to say I remembered, girl. I'm sitting in front of notes. The last thing on my notes about John is just, like, the whole concept of the throuple and how he didn't seem to be too close with Travis.
He seemed like he, like, honestly, I thought it was weird that they called it a throuple because it, when I hear throuple, I hear a three-way relationship. And to me, it was more like Joe was in a relationship with Travis and a relationship with John.
But, which, like, is definitely the three valid of them, people.
Right, and that's totally fine. But you're right. Like, it didn't seem like Travis and John were, like, super tight at all. even like as friends or whatever.
Well, there was also that one clip where John was talking and he's like, yeah, Joe's been talking about bringing someone else in for a while now. So, and he didn't seem too happy about it, but he didn't seem upset. It was just kind of like, oh, like, again, this is a clip where I'm like, he loves Joe because it seemed more or less like, without him saying the words, I'll do anything for Joe.
Yeah, 100%. It was just like, it was weird because I feel like Joe just came to John and was like, hey, can we let Travis in? And John was like, okay. And that was it.
Also, the blanket they got at their wedding, amazing. Immaculate.
It reminded me of a Leslie Knope fucking friendship quilt or some shit like that.
I can't wait to send you like one of the, you know, the photo blankets. I'm going to get one made of me, you, and Dylan meeting Pooh Bear.
Literally, I'm here for that. That was a great time. I had never been in his bedroom before, Christopher Robin's bedroom. When you meet Pooh Bear at Epcot, just for those who don't know, you meet him in Christopher Robin's bedroom. And this past time I was at Disney World was the first time I ever did that, and it was super cute.
I do agree. His bedroom is super cute.
It was adorable. And like the way that they let you get like actual quality time with Pooh versus like when you meet him in Magic Kingdom with Tigger, you know, it's like so rushed, I feel like, at the thoughtful spot versus like when we were in his bedroom, we could like fuck around with him a little bit. It was fun.
I'm just thinking about like if we ever get super famous.
Oh my god. Wow.
And people pull audio clips to try to mess with us, and they just pull you saying that. Like, yeah, it was a lot of fun in his bedroom. Like,
yeah, I did also just say fuck around with poo. So,
yeah. I guess I can talk about this because he's a tiger. I love Thoughtful Spot, but I think that Tigger is the main guy there. Like, I love Pooh Bear, but I hardly pay attention to him because he's so overshadowed.
He's just, yeah, he's just overshadowed. Tamer, I guess. I used to work right next to the Thoughtful Spot. TBT.
That's all I have to say about John Finley, though. Do you have anything else?
Nope, all done.
So, on to our next John named man. We have John Rinke.
Okay, first of all, I love John Rinke. I think he's amazing. He's really, really handsome. Just saying, hey, John, I know you left your wife. Hit me the fuck up. I thought he was honestly, like, one of the most level-headed people in the whole series. Like, he didn't seem like a bullshitter to me.
Yeah,
versus almost
really cool.
Everyone seemed like at least a mild bullshitter.
Yeah, I don't know. He seemed like a really cool guy. Like, I would definitely go to Chili's with him and chat and eat bottomless chips.
I would
and
go
salsa
to Chili's with him too, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay. So John Rinke is missing both of his legs, and I just love the whole like, yeah, tigers didn't eat my legs, I broke them in a ziplining accident.
And he had like a Pennywise-esque guy on his one leg. They were like those art that his legs were really cool. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't really decipher what was on them because, you know, blind as a bat over here. But I thought I
forget
the
what the one
it.
Was, but the other one was a clown. And like, you should look at it with your glasses because it like it honestly looked like it was Pennywise.
It might have been. And if that's the case, we stan John Rinke even harder. So, you mentioned he is divorced now. I didn't really like how the series kind of skirted over that, where he's like, yeah, I'm 50-something years old. I've got to get on with my life. And he talks about how he left the zoo and then left his wife. And I'm like, dude, does your wife work at the zoo? Like, why are these two things
his
correlated?
His wife is a tiger.
I hate you. No, but it was like, why are these two things correlated? What's going on? Could you imagine just being his wife?
And he never talks about being married. I mean, I guess it just wasn't a relevant detail. Like, I guess they just didn't really ask him much about his personal life until the very end.
Yeah, it's just weird because I'm like, I'm in my head, I'm imagining his wife thinks everything's fine. She's like, yeah, that's my husband with the cool tattooed legs. He works at a tiger zoo. And then all this stuff, you know, hits the fan at the zoo. And she's like, dang, like being supportive wife. And then one day he comes home and he's like, well, I quit my job. And she's like, all right, cool. And he's like, I'm leaving you next. You know, I don't know if that happened, but I'm just sitting here wanting to know, like, is she okay? Is she good? Why did he leave her? But obviously, that's super personal. He's not going to, like, sit here on the Tiger documentary and be like, let me tell you about my however many year long marriage, you know?
Or so. Maybe he did talk about it and they just didn't put it in. I don't know.
Yeah. John was really interesting because he seemed to actually care about the zoo. And he seemed, you know, in some capacity to actually care for Joe. And so that ending portion where he's talking to reporters outside of the court honestly made me like really, really sad.
Yeah. Again, he struck me as like the only genuine person throughout the entire show. So I think that like he honestly felt like what he did to like in court was right, you know, and like what mm-hmm. he needed to do.
Do you have anything else to say about John number two?
He handsome. That's it.
So the next person I have on this list is either Saf or Saf, you know, S-A-double-F.
How I think it's you... Saf.
Okay,
like Saf. Saffron.
Oh, duh. Okay, cool. Saffron's a pretty color. It's like a mustard yellow, I think.
It is. Yeah, I like that.
So I think it's super important to note here that Saf uses he/him pronouns, but does not personally identify as a trans man. So there has been a lot going around recently saying that he is a trans man. And I read an interview with Out Magazine where he says something along the lines of like, no, I don't identify as a trans man. That's not me. So I think that is super important to, you know, include here.
Either way, the documentary, like, definitely dead names him, which is disrespectful no matter how you look at it, because obviously that's not the name that he uses and doesn't want to go by that. And they just, I don't know. I think in that situation, it's super important to be aware of someone's pronouns, and it just seemed like they were very, like, just flippant. And didn't care. And I think that sucks.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember when he was dead named, which is like good, I guess. That's not something I want to sit here and like recall and remember. But I did see a lot about that, and it is really, really crappy. I also read a lot about how Joe never really picked up the whole pronoun thing and didn't really respect them. So that's something that's very interesting to note, that, you know, a big part of Joe's identity was being a gay man and not really having respect for that other part of the queer community that is so big and strong and, like, important and should be given the same amount of respect. So,
yeah,
certainly.
White, you know, gay men are some of the most, like, transphobic people ever. Mm-hmm. And they dead name Saf, like, in the, when they introduce him and put his name on the screen. So, like, okay. No one, like, verbally says it from what I remember, but, like, that's how they present him.
Okay. Sorry to make a joke at this point in time, but that's why I missed it. Mrs. No Glasses.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, like, it comes on the screen as his birth name, which is... Again, just like that's how the documentary is introducing him, so the viewer would have no way of knowing otherwise. So yeah, that's a bummer.
So Saf is actually the person that we mentioned earlier. Again, I don't know why I'm talking to y'all like you didn't watch the whole thing. If you are here at this point, you did. So he got his arm ripped off by the tiger.
Yeah, that scene was for me, you don't see any gore, obviously, but for me as a gore hater, that was tough to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. Gore doesn't really bother me. But the biggest thing that bothered me about this whole thing is just them casually being like, yeah, he returned to work 5 days after having his arm ripped off. I'm like,
right.
Ow?
Like, and having, like, amputation is a major surgery. Throw out the fact that your arm was destroyed by a tiger. Like, that's a major... Also, that's fucking traumatizing. Like, going through a major injury like that definitely puts a damper on your psyche. So I think it shows a lot, this like weird loyalty that Joe's people had for him, the fact that Saf returned to work so quickly.
Yeah, I think maybe, if anything, how earlier I said there's no good person here, I was mainly talking about obviously the main like cat people. But I think Saf was one of the realest people in this docuseries.
Yeah.
He was really cool. And I saw a meme that was like, you have the realest person in this documentary doing their interviews next to a dumpster. Like, how rude.
Yeah. A lot of people on Twitter were saying stuff like, I feel like that shows, like... A lot of people were commenting, I guess, on where they chose to do a lot of the interviews. If you look at the blonde guy whose name we forgot, who wore the glasses all the time.
The cool guy with the long hair.
Yes. All his interviews were looked like they were in some, like, shitty fucking campsite. I don't want to be mean to him, but, like, you could, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, a super great looking area. Same with John Ranke, like... It almost looked like at times he was getting interviewed in a junkyard. And same with Saf. Like, it looked like they were interviewing him in a junkyard. So I honestly think that on some level, those choices were probably deliberate by the filmmakers.
Yeah. So, like I mentioned a little bit ago, Saf did a really detailed interview with Out Magazine, and I encourage you all to go read it because it was really informative, but I just pulled this out of the interview because I thought it was super interesting. They asked him, was there something that did not make it into the show that you were sort of surprised did not make it? And he replied with this direct quote, I think what the amount of time that they spent on park filming was not reflected. There was not a lot of what we do there, you know? There were bits and pieces of the animal interactions with us, but there was so much more to it. It wasn't just a matter of doing these cub petting events on these tours. We constantly interacted with our animals. They were friends to us, and we looked forward to interacting with them. And it varied. It wasn't just cats. Some people were excited to go spend time with a cockatoo or excited to go spend time with a skunk. You become very, very much attached to these animals as if they are a large part of your life. And I don't think that was depicted as much as I know it was present.
I guess, like, that statement makes sense because... That's what the zoo is about. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense to me why the animal interaction footage was limited, because that's not what it was about.
I don't want to put words into his mouth, but I think it, my personal opinion here is just some of the people, like John Ranke and Saf and the cool guy with the long hair and the glasses... Like you said, some of the recording locations seemed like they might have been deliberate, and I think it was almost like they were trying to fulfill this weird, like, let me talk about these people almost as if they're sideshow freaks. Like, they're like some sort of like, you know, oh, look at these weird people that take care of these animals and are just here because they want drugs or a free place to live or they don't have any other opportunity. So I think if anything, like... The animal interactions don't really belong in the docuseries because that's not what it's about. But almost maybe it does kind of make certain people look bad, because I really hate to word it this way. Almost like this weird crackhead narrative of like, look at these weird people that live here for nothing and what are they doing?
Or like, whereas, they're carnies or something.
Yeah. So, you know, if there were more footage included where these people were interacting with animals and even, you know, look at all the other animals we have. Look at what we do here. Does that change what the zoo was doing and how it was terrible in certain ways? Absolutely not. But I do think it would have benefited some of the people who weren't reflected in the greatest light during filming.
Right, because playing with a cute animal, you know, it makes just about anyone look good. I will say, like, in the final episode, when he sends those two chimpanzees to, like, a rescue, I think it was, or something like, you know, he sends them away.
Yeah.
For me, in that moment, he's admitting, like, I have animals in cages on top of each other, and I'm here acknowledging that maybe I'm not actually giving them the best care. Like, I honestly think that that's why the animal interaction isn't included, because, you know, while it might help in terms of making people look better, I think overall you're going to see a tiger doesn't fucking belong in that. And that I think is a really like, for me, based on my views and whatnot, that was a really heavy part for me, is that, like, tigers in the wild are so endangered, we can't release these because they've been raised in captivity, and at Joe's facility they're just not, the care isn't there. There is it's called the American Zoological Association, and I'm not really super down for zoos in general. Like, I don't go to them or anything like that, but I know that the AZA has pretty high standards, and there's a lot of zoos and aquariums that are accredited by them, which means that all of the animals receive, like, a certain amount of care and stuff. And I think that's one thing, but when you look at Joe's zoo and Doc Antle's zoo, it's just, it makes it that much worse, because, you know, not only does a tiger not belong there to begin with, but they just are completely using the tigers for their own gain. And it's sad, because maybe Joe started out really genuine with his love of tigers, but in the end, it became about anything but the tigers.
Yeah, I think we briefly talked about this on our own, but the whole thing in the beginning where Joe talks about how he attempted suicide and ran his car off of a bridge, and after he was recovering from that, he was staying with a friend in a house where this friend brought home baby big cats and various, like, exotic animals, and he recovered around them. Like, as soon as that was said, I'm like, okay, this is a bigger issue. Like, mentally, like, you probably associate, like, do you get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Like, and there's, that's a problem for a lot of people who hoard animals in general, is that it's an addiction. They associate having animals with, I guess, wholeness. And it's really unfortunate, because a lot of the times the animals are neglected.
Also, this is really, like, not on the same topic, but a second ago when you were talking about, like, you know, that beautiful educational, I don't want to say tangent because it was good, when you were going on a second ago, I thought about when Joe was, like, you know, using the cubs to teach people, and he's just randomly like, there are no escalators in the rainforest.
You know, that made me laugh, like, because, like,
in case you were wondering, there are no,
I've been to the National Aquarium in Baltimore several times. I've been many times as a child, and there's a rainforest exhibit, and there's literally an escalator that goes up that you have to take to get up into it. So when he said that, I was like, well, technically, sir,
at the National Aquarium. Maybe he was trying. Maybe he was trying to throw shade. Like, he's like, this is inaccurate. There are no escalators. Yeah, I just thought that was funny. Is there anything else that you would like to include about Saf or anyone else before we get to, like, main true crimey speculations?
No, ma'am. This is such a long episode, and I'm really here for it.
So, I'm just going to come out and say it. Who do you think set the studio on fire?
Joe.
I don't agree with you, but I don't disagree with you.
So, maybe, like, it wasn't Joe, but it was someone that Joe had do it. But I 100% think that Joe was involved because it conveniently happened on the one night that Joe was not at the zoo. Joe was never not at the zoo unless he was doing those, like, traveling things with the cubs or whatever. But, like, Joe was always at the zoo. And the thing about it is I've seen people say that it could have been Rick. Rick had so much money riding on what was in that studio that I don't think that it would have been him. Because at the end of the day, like, legally or whatever, he's the one that owned all that footage. So why would he do that? He literally says in the documentary, that was my retirement. So to me, like, that never made any sense. So yeah, I think it was Joe.
Yeah, I think also going with it being Joe, you know, like you said, he was out of town. If someone was keeping up with him to know he was out of town that night, it leans into it being an inside job, because I don't think Carol Baskin would be up to date. Oh, Joe's leaving town for a funeral. If he had been leaving town for, like, a cub petting thing or something to do with the Tigers, I would be like, okay, it makes sense to try to blame Carol and someone affiliated with her.
I just don't think Carol either would ever do anything that would put animals in harm's way like that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, she might have killed her husband, whatever. She might want to hurt Joe. I don't really know. But I don't think she would do anything like that that could potentially risk the lives of any of Joe's animals. Because regardless of how she feels about Joe, like, I don't know. That's just my opinion. I don't think that she would set anything on fire at the zoo, considering how close it was to some of his cats and things.
Yeah, so I was really befuddled by them saying, yeah, the studio is also alligator space.
It was like two adjacent buildings, I thought. Like, they were near each other, but not the same.
Yeah, I got that picture, but it's just, I think my cousin said it when we were talking about this. We're like, why were these alligators not mentioned beforehand? I guess because, you know, the documentary is mainly covering big cats. But I do think in some way it would have been important to be like, oh, there are also alligators and skunks.
Well, and they never mentioned the fact that he had, like, primates either, really, until close to the end. Yeah.
It's just really interesting that that wasn't included. Also, apparently, some of the alligators that were inside of the studio place, the building, belonged to Michael Jackson at some point.
How did they get there? Do you know?
No. Like, I briefly looked into it and then didn't delve too deep. But apparently some of them did live on the Neverland Ranch, and that was a thing. So I think it is so interesting that that little tidbit wasn't included. Because you're talking about, oh yeah, the studio and all the tapes were destroyed. Also, a bunch of alligators were killed.
Well, weren't they John's alligators too, supposedly? Like, they had them because he liked them or something?
Yeah, so I don't know much about specifics on, like, what constitutes different species of animals. You'll get what I mean in a second. But there was something where John said, like, yeah, seven of my crocodilians. And I was like,
oh, I don't think he meant, like, I almost wonder when he said that if he was just trying to be, like, sound smart. Not that he's not, like, but, like, that's what I thought.
Like, crocodilian? Like, maybe that's
it's just, like, a general classification. Like, I don't know. We'll have to find out. I'll have to Google it when we're done.
I would love if that was actually correct, though, and I just look like a big meanie head for being, like, crocodilian.
But... I know, and now I'm out here calling him stupid, but I actually don't know.
But yeah, so I'm like, you're talking about these alligators that were just burned to death. Can you take 2 seconds and be like, yeah, some of these were acquired from Michael Jackson himself?
I guess I didn't feel it was relevant.
Why was that the cutoff point for like, oh, this can't be this crazy? I would have added it for a little bit more. Like
dramatic flair.
Yes. I was going to say zest, but I don't know.
I hate when you say zest.
Yeah, I know you do.
So like, stupid. Zest.
I love when I reply to your text and I can literally almost imagine your face when I reply and I'm like, Roger that. Okay, boss.
Zesty. I know, you literally can see me roll my eyes and put my phone back down and not reply.
I'm like, zesty, spicy. This morning I said, crikey.
I know, I was like, who the fuck did I start a podcast with, bro?
We love vocabulary. But yeah, I don't know who I think set the studio on fire. I think the clip that was shown of the person walking away kind of looked like, what's his name? Rick, what's his last name?
Oh, please. You can't even fucking tell.
It looks like his silhouette.
But like, a silhouette isn't anything.
I don't know.
Also, I think... self-admitted fucking blind person.
I can see shadows, okay? It looked like him. But also, it doesn't make sense for it to be him. I don't know. I have mixed feelings on the whole studio situation. Not that, like, I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, it was Joe. But he almost, like, I don't know if he's that smart to think about it in this way. But my way of thinking is, like, why would he do it on his night out of town? Like, he immediately looks suspicious because of that.
I feel like he probably felt like it didn't make him look suspicious. It made him look not suspicious in his mind because he's like, I wasn't there. How could I have done it? You know?
I hate that I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, I don't really know who it was, because all things lend to it being Joe. And also how he was kind of like upset about the contract and whatnot.
Yeah, that was like right around the time he was getting pissed at Rick.
Yeah. I just think the silhouette looked like Rick. And that's my hot take.
Okay. Well, it's pretty ice cold, but...
All right. Do you think Carol Baskin killed her husband?
So the way I see it, yes. But if she didn't, she knows who did. Like, maybe she wasn't the one that did it, but I think she knows what happened to him 100%.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. I lean more towards the fact that she did it or was, like, highly, highly involved in his murder.
She doesn't strike me as, like, wanting, like, she strikes me as wanting him dead, maybe, but not necessarily wanting to get her hands dirty. So that's why I say I feel like she physically might not have done it, because she just doesn't, like, I don't know, the way she is, she totally strikes me as the type to be like, I want him dead, but, like, I don't really want to do it, so, like, do you mind? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think if she didn't do it herself, she was highly involved. I also think when she's, like, reiterating what happened, it sounds so rehearsed.
And the, like, sardine oil comment.
Yeah. I'm just, like, focusing, though, on her, like, how rehearsed she sounds when she's talking about her husband disappearing. Even the early clips from the news, she almost seems annoyed that they're asking. Like, oh, like, let me recite. Like, yeah, he left early, early, early. Like,
right. I guess she, most people, I don't want to say most people because, you know, that's a generalization. But a lot of times when you watch interviews of people who have family members or who are missing, there's like a certain degree of franticness, I guess. And I never saw that from her, really.
Yeah, it seemed like she was just reading, like, something, like, scripted. Like, oh, yeah, like, here's my story. He left early, early, early. Cool, great. I also think the verbiage used on his will upon my disappearance.
Yeah, that's not a thing that people put in their wills.
I also, I don't know, Carol doesn't strike me as a stupid person. Joe Exotic, no offense, Joe, if you're listening, he strikes me as someone who would make the mistake of putting down upon my disappearance. Carol does not seem like the type to do something like that. So it's very interesting because that's not normal verbiage used on that type of thing. Why would you disappear? Why would you know that you were disappearing? If you didn't know you were going to disappear, that's such a strange way of saying,
right, no one would put that, like, in a will. It's just, yeah, it is very odd.
I also can't imagine, you know, if she really did kill him or get him killed or whatever, like, she has to do with it. I couldn't imagine 20 years later people are bringing it up and now the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department is reopening the case.
If they didn't find anything then, they're probably not going to find anything now. Like, if she did something to him, allegedly, she is not getting caught for it, I think. Like, I think she's pretty well gotten away with it.
I think right now, maybe it's just for hype. And, you know, they're opening. I think they might have opened a tip line or something.
And they could say we're opening an investigation and, like, not actually move it anywhere because police mm-hmm. be like that sometimes.
Yeah, I just couldn't imagine, like, if she did do it or had a part of it. You know, you think you get completely away with it. Everybody, like, low-key talks about you and is like, oh, yeah, she killed her husband. But beyond that, it was just kind of, like, a thing within the big cat community. But now it's, like, on Netflix and everybody thinks she killed her husband.
There's fucking memes about it.
Also, on a completely different side, I couldn't imagine not killing my husband and having to live through all of this and memes and everything and people that aren't within your immediate, you know, big cat community. Everybody's talking shit about you. Everyone's saying,
she doesn't give a fuck. It does not faze her at all. And you can tell. Because with her fucking sardine oil ass comment, like, she doesn't care. I'm glad that she doesn't care.
Yeah, I don't even want to get into the sardine oil thing just because it's so suspicious. But also, if
it's
she
it's just
didn't
oddly
do it,
specific, I guess.
Yeah, I think if she didn't do it, though, it's kind of funny if she's the type of person that's like, yeah, I'll joke about it. I know I didn't do it. I'm not in prison. So I'm just going to make really out-of-pocket comments and make people think I did it. If she's that type of person.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Is there anything else you would like to discuss or include?
No, I think we covered everything. It should be under 2 hours with my editing, but right now as we speak, we're at 2 hours and 6 minutes. So thank you guys for sticking around if you made it this far. I know we've never really done a long one like this before, but when you get the chit chat flowing, it's kind of hard to stay good on time, so hope you liked it.
Yeah, this was also just mainly for fun, I think, so don't...
We're just out of ideas. We've got quarantine writer's block, so no, it is for fun, and fun on both ends, because fucking everyone and their mom can listen to this and love it, and we had a blast talking about it.
Yeah, and if you made it this far, message us. Talk to us about Tiger King. Tell us who you think set the studio fire. Do you think Carol really did it? Like, anything that we mentioned here.
Tell me you think that Rick set the studio fire so I can tell you you're wrong.
Let us know if you would buy big cat printed thongs at the GW Zoo. Like, literally anything we talked about. Hit us up. I would love to personally talk about it and have a little combo.
Angel's really active on the Instagram. So if you talk to someone on there, on the Sweep and Reap account.
Oh, no.
It's probably Angel. So
don't say that.
Talk to her. I edit and I write the captions and do all that stuff. And... like the episode notes, not the captions. And I let Angel handle our social media because I am really bad at it. But you should still follow it. We are on Instagram at Sweep and Reap, and we are on Twitter also at Sweep and Reap. As well, we've got a Gmail. If you want to send us any and everything, you can hit us up, sweepersandreaperspod@gmail.com. And we're also on Facebook if you search Sweepers and Reapers Podcast. We also are really bad at mentioning, asking, if you really like the Sweepers and Reapers Podcast, or if you mildly like the Sweepers and Reapers Podcast, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. It helps us out a bunch, and we would really appreciate it.
All right, cool. I hope you all stay cool and catty.
Stay safe. I know it is a crazy time in the world for pretty much everyone. So stay the fuck home if you can. And if you can't, please take care of yourself and everyone around you. Thank you so much for sticking with us.
Goodbye.